So for those who are Zooming in from home, thank you all for being with us today. And guys, believe it or not, between 16 and 20 guys typically are Zooming in from home. So we are privileged to have the group not only from home, but right here in person. Good week so far? All right. Well, in Steve's absence, Jeff thought it'd be a good idea for me to spend a little time with you, kind of sharing about next steps in my ministry. And the Hub certainly has a big part in that, and I'll unpack that for you over the next several minutes. But guys, I can tell you this, the Hub has been a very, very special place and will continue to be a very special gathering in my life. I began ministry on the ministry team some 6 years ago, and my first step into forming new ministry for the men of the church was Next Generation Fraternity. And so we've been going ever since. TJ, he doesn't have to do this, but he loves being a part of gatherings like this, creating authentic biblical community around the tables. And so to TJ, and certainly to Jeff now, being a part of the team, it just means so very, very much. And I know Zach is here from time to time. I can't say enough about Steve Peterson. And gentlemen, he has been writing for 6 years now, getting ready for Tuesday mornings. And he's turned that into a book or two. And I can still remember some of the things he said down in the loft. One thing in particular, as we were going through, I believe the book of Galatians, he said this: why choose to go where Christ is not? And you know, you chew on that a little bit, and that makes a whole lot of sense. So I say all of that to say that God is moving and working in and through each of you as you are a part of the Hub. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's pray that God would stir our hearts for what He has in the weeks and the months ahead for this ministry. Will you do that with me? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, You never grow tired. You are never weary. You are always present. You are always moving in our hearts. And Father, Jeff, for Steve, for those who lead our tables, God, we thank You for the span of leadership that makes the Hub such a very, very special ministry. And so, Father, as we meet this morning, be it from home or right here in this room, we ask for Your Spirit's presence to move in us, among us, and through us. All for Your name's honor and glory, Lord Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Timothy, if you would. And this is what the morning is going to look like. So I'm going to speak for about an hour and 15 minutes. Then Dorian's going to come up, and he's going to do about 30 minutes. And then we'll be serving lunch around 10:30. Is that going to work for everybody? Something tells me y'all got something else to do this morning. Guys, it's interesting. Chuck Swindoll said something one time. He said, you know, guys, quit telling people how old you are because they really don't care. So I'm not going to go down that road. But the Lord's given me the opportunity over decades to be a part of ministry. And it looks like, as I'm in the completion years of ministry, that the Lord is taking me back to where I got started. Let me explain. So I finished seminary in the late 70s, and Paul Timothy discipleship was in vogue in Southern Baptist life. So I had an opportunity during the summers, along with my wife, to return to our hometown of Roanoke, Virginia. And we had the opportunity to work in a small suburban church, about 125 people, just kind of been sitting there for a while. And so ahead of my starting that, along with Renee, I asked my evangelism professor, Roy Fish, Roy, what should I do as I get started in working with these students? He said, Mike, you need to get four or five guys around you and just build into their lives. Well, I did that. We went through the scriptures. I was mentoring these boys. You know, it says in the Bible that the younger will lead the older. Guess what happened? Those students got so fired up in their relationship with Christ, they started bringing their friends, and the parents started coming. We loved that first summer. We went back to Fort Worth, and sure enough, I finished seminary. Didn't think I had the brains to do that, but God was gracious. And so, in the last semester, the pastoral selection committee got in touch with me and said, Mike, our pastor's retired. Would you be interested in becoming our pastor? Well, some things you don't have to think about very long. And so, yes. So, Renee and I moved back on May 18, 1980, West Salem Baptist Church, and God is continuing to move among those students. I reconnected with them, doing the mentoring, the discipleship. We expanded that to where we trained Pauls and Paulettes, men and women who would engage one-on-one with a new or younger believer. Grandmothers were discipling new mothers. It was that kind of rich environment. And folks, guys, all I can tell you, God honored that. And that church grew for the glory of God. It tripled the first year. And so it went. A small Southern Baptist church in southwestern Virginia. It's not the numerical growth, men and women. It is that spiritual growth and development to where people, men and women and students were being equipped to share the whole gospel, to enter into legitimate fellowship with one another. And over eight guys surrendered to God's call to ministry and are preaching today. That is the power of discipleship. Paul Timothy relationships. I can tell you the richest part of my ministry over the years has been sitting down with a guy one-on-one for a prolonged period of time and just journeying together. And that's what Jeff and I and Dorian want to talk with you about today. And some of you, because you're so faithful to the Hub, you're sitting there and you may be thinking, well, we've already talked about that. What's going to be our next step? And so that's what I want to share today. So, in terms of what is the core message of the Hub and where we're headed, 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. The Apostle Paul is writing to his son in the faith. Paul has just gotten out of prison in Rome, and so he is drafting this letter to young Timothy. He says this, "I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent." Guys, we all have a story of what we were. Every mentor has the backstory, but they do not let that backstory define them. Got that? Continuing. "But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Now you're going to hear about the gospel. "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." It's kind of like a doxology. Doesn't it ring like that, guys? And so here is the Apostle Paul writing to young Timothy, who is younger in the faith, to be sure. And Paul is writing these words of assurance, these words where the gospel is the core message of Paul's ministry. So guys, as we kind of bring this to a moment of application, you know, we can look at the Hub as a weekly Bible study where we come, gather fellowship, great teaching for sure, and then we leave it at that. But what if the Lord wants a bit more for the Hub? So, as you know, Dr. Youssef has allowed me to take a step back from leading our adult Bible classes on Sunday morning and being at the center of the Hub. I'm taking a step back, not a step out, as I've said previously. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Okay? So, is the Hub just an hour? Or could it be, guys, that we're talking about discipleship, where we are talking about a journey together, where God has given us, you, me, an opportunity in a one-on-one setting to invest in a guy's life And I know you're probably sitting there thinking, man, I'm not smart enough to do that. I don't know if you're like me or not, but it seems like a lot of communicators slash preachers today are trying to sound like Socrates instead of just teaching the Bible, right? So we can all, through the inspiration of God's Spirit moving upon us, just to communicate the Scriptures to another guy and to apply that. In just a moment, Dorian's going to come up here, and what you've not heard previously, you know, the last time we had Dorian and Alex and Brandon Gunter up here, and we were kind of laying out for you the importance of Paul-Timothy relationships. So now we're going to put some movement to that. As a result of that plan, whose life is being changed? So Dorian is going to be prepared in an interview setting to let you know what God is doing through his life, where he started as a Timothy. God has now moved him to that position of being a mentor to others, and he's going to talk about that so we see just how profound God's plan truly is for men. That's the last thing I'm going to say before I set the stage for Dorian. And I know this is on Zoom, so it can go any number of places. But I'm going to take a risk. In God's providence, in the working of his church, are you ready for this? Men lead, women follow. And you know what? Ladies, just marinate on that a minute. Now just marinate on that a minute. Men lead, women follow. All right, so guys, less testosterone kind of flow through our veins in a big way. What if God gets a hold of our heart to where we have that moment, this one thing I do? Guys, we always think big, but sometimes getting bigger means getting smaller. And the one-on-one relationship to where you're just getting real and getting into God's Word to where, you know, God's giving you a working knowledge of the Scriptures. What if God would choose to turn the hub into 250 guys on Tuesday morning? How big is your God? And guys, quite honestly, I'm not about numbers. I know I come from Southern Baptist life, and you know, sometimes you're like as good as your last 30 days, how many people joined a church and all that sort of thing. I have some memories of all that. But in all seriousness, are we even asking God to do something akin to what he did in the opening of the book of Acts, where 2,000 one day under preaching by Peter came to know Christ? You know, I somehow think this, and I've always thought this in ministry over the years, God will send them when we're prepared to help them grow. Guys, we can all be right at the center of a fresh movement of the Lord upon this church. And I do believe this. that if God chooses to bring a fresh season of ministry together within this church, men are going to be at the center of that. Talking about destiny. And through the fullness of God's Holy Spirit, it's a no-brainer. Now, 2 Timothy. Can you turn there? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 6 through 8. Well, let's just start with verse 1. Chapter 4, 2 Timothy. Paul says this to Timothy. Paul is now in prison. That's chapter 4. Once I start, you can't stop that guy. Oh, Coleman, you got it, baby? I love you, man. All right, here, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Now, guys, this is not only for Peter, but it's for us. If you want God's plan for influencing another guy's life for the power and for the glory of God, here it is. Preach the word. Preach means proclaim. You do know that. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now Paul says this. So who is Paul writing to? Okay. If you read 1 and 2 Timothy, I mean, this is a love relationship between Paul and Timothy. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The drink offering came after the grain offering. It was the last offering. The drink offering. What Paul is saying, my life is now being poured out. This is the last sacrifice. And his whole life had been a life of sacrifice. And the time of my departure has come. That word departure, it's like loosening the ropes that have tied that boat to the dock. Paul is saying, I'm letting go. I'm letting go of this physical life. The time of my departure has come. And now he says this, I have fought the good fight. So he's a warrior. In 1 Timothy, he tells Timothy, fight the good fight. Now Paul is saying in 2 Timothy, God has fought the good fight. Guys, if God is going to have his way and build men's ministry to his glory and the strengthening of this church, if you sign on for that, you're signing on for a life where you're going to have to fight. Is it worth the fight? I have finished the race. In other words, he has completed what God called him to do. So he's an athlete. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He's been a guardian of the faith. Aren't you thankful for that? because it's as a result of Paul's faithfulness in keeping the faith that we're hearing about it and we're studying about it today. Don't disjoint the generations. We're linked together. Henceforth. So he's looking forward now. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Mike, it's like the conversation you and I were having right back there. We were talking about departure. And Mike is looking forward to that. Guys, there's something interesting. You know, life in the fourth quarter doesn't have to be a brownout. Just because you know the runway's getting shorter is no reason to unplug and watch The Price is Right in the afternoon. Could it be the fourth quarter is going to be your most fruitful quarter in ministry? Carlos, can you buy that? See, you younger guys, we're trying to make y'all feel jealous because this is the best time we've ever had. So the Apostle Paul, Timothy. And Timothy, he discipled. And those that he discipled, discipled. You know where I'm going with this? As opposed to a Bible study that feeds the mind and touches the heart, if the hub becomes a lane of discipleship, then it carries that eternal dimension. It's like you throw a stone out into the water and the rippling effect, it just keeps on rippling. Two things last forever: God's Word and people. What do you want to invest in? Dorian, come on up here, bro. So as he's making his way, Dorian and I have been meeting together for over a year. And we've been going through the Daily Chronological Bible. And have a seat, brother. And all I can tell you is God has been so gracious to give us some God moments. So special indeed, for sure. And TJ will pop in sometimes, and you know, wherever TJ lands, it's going to be an up moment. So he gives some great latitude and stuff. So, you know, when Dorian's on the hall downstairs, it's like everybody knows him. And we welcome his presence. So, Dorian, what has Tuesday afternoons, and be brief on this, what has Tuesday afternoons given you in your walk with Christ?
I would say in one word, structure. It's given me structure in my life. It's given me structure in how I go about leading my family. And it's given me a path to follow as I try to lead not just, you know, my daughters, my wife, but also just those that God has put in my life.
All right, let's talk. As I promised the guys, last time you were sharing the value of being mentored. So guys, God has grown Dorian. Now he is actively mentoring. So these guys want to know, well, who are you mentoring?
You know, it varies. It varies. There's, you know, I own a gym. I own a strength and conditioning center around the corner. And there's several men in there that are dear friends of mine. And that, you know, some have come to know Christ through the relationships that are within the gym and whatnot, through myself, my friends. You know, I've been able to pour into them and mentor them in a way of just, you know, letting them know about God, but also guiding them to their knowledge that they already had, but into a closer relationship with God as well.
Okay. So is that a monthly gathering that you have at the gym?
You know, there is a gathering that we have, but it's really a daily gathering. You know, it's you know, much like us meeting on a weekly basis, you know, not just here, but in church, in relationships. You know, I enjoy so much just getting in a little bit early, getting to talk to some of you guys prior to us sitting down and talking. Afterwards, getting to talk and have those times of building our relationship and everything like that. Getting to church before worship, you know, and you see the people that are around you, you know, and whatnot. It's very much like that in the gym setting and whatnot. You know, the guys get to the gym early. They stay after. We get to talk. We get to kind of build into each other, discuss what's happening in our lives. And then there's always opportunities sometimes that present themselves to be able to then say, oh, well, what are you doing about that? And to try to dig a little bit deeper into their life and into their, hopefully, you know, walk with Christ.
Okay, guys, I'm going to throw one at him here. So, you know, when you're in love with Christ, Christ gives you a real love for people. And he has a way of helping you smile more, laugh more. You know, the look of the eyes are brighter. So where am I going with that? I've got to ask you a question. So at the gym, are you always initiating conversation, or those in the gym, are they coming up to you and initiating conversation with you?
I would say it's 50-50.
Mm-hmm. 50-50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they must like you.
Oh, well. I guess you could say that. Yeah, we have some good times. Yeah.
Guys, he has shown me pictures of these Saturday rallies. And, you know, because he is living the life, there are upwards of 30 to 40, sometimes even more than 40, that are a part of that Saturday morning God rally. Isn't that cool? So when we think about Paul-Timothy relationships, it's not always one-on-one. Our faithful table leaders, they pray ahead of time. TJ is equipping them, shepherding them, and so forth. Table leaders, I want you to know you're an example of what we're talking about today. And I truly, truly mean that. So we got work. You're making that a place of ministry and mentoring. Mm-hmm. All right, can we take it home?
Yes, I think that's
guys, the first... you're gonna love this, and we haven't rehearsed this, but I think I know what's coming.
Yeah, that's I think that's the but you know field that we have to attack as men. I'm sure you guys all know that and feel that way as well. But you know, being able to pour into our children first, and that was something that God convicted me of. You know, is that I spend so much time at work, so much time investing in my friends per se. You know, or you know discussing you know what is. You know, interesting to me with them, you know, whether it's sports or college or whatever it may be and everything like that, you know, but I, you know, wasn't taking that same opportunity to do that with my daughters at home, you know, and with my wife too, you know. And so one of the things that came about from us getting together and us starting to read through the Bible together was my wife got into it as well. You know, and it was something where you were gracious enough to give her a daily Bible as well. And so we're reading through the Bible together, you know, and it's just been a good time for us to be able just the bond together, but also just to grow together. And we're learning things that we had never read before. We're understanding things that we had never read before and everything like that, you know. And it's a little bit of a back and forth as well, and a kind of a competition in a way, just because, you know, us staying on track, being in each and every day, and my wife's a little bit behind, so I chide her a little bit about that. But, you know, that's been awesome. But then to take those things that I'm learning from the Bible that, you know, I mean, there's so much that I've gained from it. But then to be able to then lead that to my daughters, you know, and give that to them. And for them then to be able to then, you know, take that and understand things a little bit more. But to also, you know, who knows what our children are doing in school on a daily basis, you know. And I think that's been tremendous for them to hopefully feel a little bit bolder, a little bit more encouraged to, you know, to live out their faith, you know, with their friends, to live it. I know, just to give you an example, we were at the dinner table the other day. And my daughters were talking, and something came up that my wife and I wanted to talk to our oldest daughter about, that we kind of, through doing some detective work, were a little bit curious about. And so we asked her about it, and she confessed some things that she had done at school. And then we started discussing with her, and what came out of that, though, was the challenge of being in a public school and not having anyone around her that she felt like she could relate to, you know, from a Christian, from being a child of God, you know. And it was a great moment for us, again, to just kind of go back to the lessons that we have been reading about through the Daily Bible and just in general, you know, and pour into her. But it was an opportunity there, again, to mentor our daughter, you know, through something. And they both were feeling the same thing, 13 and 11 years old, 8th grade and 5th grade. And, you know, just some of the things that we don't think about. I don't think about all the time, you know.
Very good. So, guys, we've been meeting together for over a year. And God has brought us to a new point. So Dorian and I are going to be meeting twice a month. And the other 2 weeks of the month, Dorian is praying about whom God would have him to mentor. And I'm praying the same thing. So the power of exponential growth given time. You see where I'm going? God is going to be touching a lot of guys. So is there anything else that you'd like to share with these guys?
If you guys will bear with me, because I can ramble. I'd like to just touch upon how it started, you know, and just kind of give a little bit of a background. 2020, the beginning of 2020 was a year that I was looking to start off and to do many things within my business and whatnot. And a lot of that centered around my faith. A lot of that centered around my fitness, you know, around myself personally and whatnot. Some goals that I had set out that I wanted to achieve. The previous year, I kind of dealt with some injuries on and off. And so in 2020, my birthday, January 4th, I got struck down with an injury that really made me question if I was going to ever actually be able to, you know, have a life in fitness again. And I was questioning a lot of things. I won't go into too much detail, but anyways, it was a debilitating injury. I was very fearful. I was very anxious. I was very overcome with just worry. It was debilitating, you know, from a fear standpoint, from an anxiety standpoint. And I was broken. I was broken. I was fearful from a standpoint where I was asking God, like, what is happening? And I was at the gym, and I could barely work. I could barely even walk. And I went outside, and I was like, I got to call someone because I'm not in a good place. I picked up the phone, and someone that I always looked up to and I get attracted to father figures was Pastor Slaughter. And I was just like, man, God, I know he doesn't have time. I know he doesn't have time. I know he mentors other people. I know that he's got so much probably on his plate. He's been to someone, but I gotta talk to somebody. And so I picked up the phone, and Mike knows I pretty much broke down the minute he called, the minute he picked up and asked me what was going on. And I started to just lay it all out on him. I was calling him stuff that he was probably like, what in the world? You know, just stuff that I was pouring out my heart. And I said, Mike, can we meet? And he was like, yeah, let's get together. What's your schedule look like? And didn't hesitate for a second to meet with me. And then over the next few months of meeting with them guys, I wasn't in a place to even discuss anything really from the Bible. But Mike listened to me. He took time with me. He let me feel out my heart. But yet he was then taking moments to then pour in God's word and to lift me up out of the muck that I was in, you know? And when I tell you that, it was a spiritual attack, unlike I've ever had or could even explain, it was exactly that, gentlemen. I don't know if you guys have ever been there or can relate or whatnot, but I say that just to kind of give you a point of where it's at, you know? And so from that, as Mike poured into me and he got into word, and we started to transition from where I was in this mental place of just worried about me, what's going to happen with me, and start to get my focus off of myself and get my focus upward and then get my focus outward. You know, that's when things started to change for the better for me. You know, I had to take myself off of my selfishness, which God was dealing with me with. All the things I was dealing with was things that God was dealing with me with internally. And it was preparing me to hopefully be of use to God, you know? Anyone know Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a song called Use Me, and it goes, if you can use anyone, Lord, you can use me, you know? Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Take my heart, Lord, speak to me. If you can use anyone, Lord, you can use me. And it was just like, God, use me. And so over this past year, I truly believe that the mentoring that Mike has been able to pour into me has given me the ability then to be more open to pour into others, you know? And I think that's where, you know, we are now, is that it wasn't just about myself. It was about how God can now prepare me to use it for others, you know? And I think about the scripture that got me through a lot, guys, on this. And it was from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And it said, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I remember when I was still transitioning out of this place of selfishness and apathy and whatnot that God was dealing with me with. And I remember I was just walking through a department store. Angel was shopping, my wife, and I was just trying to get things off my mind. And I'm this literally going through the aisles of the department store, and I'm reading this, whispering it to myself. And I'm just like, God, where's your peace? Where's your comfort at? I don't feel it right now. How can I comfort anyone if I don't have your comfort? You know, I can't do this in the state that I'm in. And sure enough, again, this was part of God's, this transition in my life, this pouring into me. And I say that because mentoring isn't always going to look pretty. It's not always going to look easy. It's gonna be hard sometimes. You know, I had a young man call me yesterday, dealing with pornography. And I was just like, first thought, guys, honestly, it's like, dude, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want this mojo on me. I'm like, what if I start dealing with pornography? And I remember how Mike didn't hesitate to work on me. And I was like, God, I was like, this ain't gonna be easy. This ain't that perfect mentoring situation of where it's like, oh, this guy's got it together and I get to just walk along with him and I get to help him in his professional life and everything like that. No, it's gonna be sometimes hard. And I just had to put down myself and to say, God, you're in control of this. I was like, if I can help this man with the same help, the same comfort that you gave me in my affliction, so be it. So that's just
Amen. Guys, let's thank Dorian. Can we do that? Thank you, Dorian. Wow, that's powerful. So guys, next steps. It's time for some action. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be hearing more about your next move when it comes to this in the weeks ahead. Dr. Youssef has been kind to give me some additional bandwidth to where I can really zero in on this initiative, this discipleship ministry. And so Jeff's going to come now and talk with you about next step. And Jeff, why don't you come on up, brother? Guys, as he's coming, I just hope you know how much the leadership loves you guys and thanks you for being a part of this. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. That's a super powerful example of how pouring into somebody's life can make a difference beyond that life. You see, Mike, pouring into Dorian in a time of need has impacted literally dozens of men and women that go to Dorian's gym because Mike made the decision to pour into Dorian. I want to let you know something. Just because a guy's a pastor doesn't mean they have to pour into people. I know that might shock you. You might think, oh, that's what he gets paid to do. He could easily have been like, you know, why don't you, you know, we've got some pastoral counseling here. Why don't, I'm going to send you off to them. They can better help you. I know a lot of pastors in full-time ministry that do nothing as far as discipleship is. They think discipleship is purely talking about it. So there's three principles that we noticed about moving into discipleship, right? First of all, every gospel gives us a commission to go make disciples. It's not just Matthew. Luke does, John does, Mark does, and also we hear it all in the book of Acts. That is what we are supposed to be doing. Francis Chan, who's a well-known pastor, had a mega church in Silicon Valley. He had the greatest programs around. I mean, they had thousands and thousands of people coming to their programs, coming to their worship services, coming to their Sunday school classes, coming to their small groups, and he just said, we're not getting it done. We're not making an impact. Because he didn't know how to flip the ship, as it were, in a new direction and make disciples, and he decided that he needed to back away and figure it out. And he talks about discipleship in this way. He says, you know, we all have children, or most of us have children, and imagine if you go to your daughter, your son, or your grandchild, and you say, hey, clean your room. And you come back the next day, and you look, and you see the bed's not made, the toy's on the floor, the bathroom, the toilet's not clean, the shower still has soap scum all over it, and you're just looking around, the closet's just an absolute disaster, and they come back and say, oh, Dad, do you know what? I decided to read a book about how to clean my room. Aren't you proud of me? Oh, Dad, I went to a small group, and we talked about how we can better clean our rooms, and we're praying about it. So I've got prayer support on how to better clean my room. Oh, Dad, I go to a Sunday school class, and we're studying about all the nuances and variances of how to clean a room. Now, what do you think that dad's going to do at that point in time? Well done, my good and faithful child, right? No, the reality of it in that point in time is that the dad's going to say, hey, you know what? Get with the program and do what I told you to do. I don't care how you do it. Just do it. So the first principle in you becoming a mentor or somebody who disciples others is to just make the decision to get off your blessed assurance and get off my blessed assurance and just do it. No excuses. Because I don't think our Heavenly Father, as loving and kind and merciful as he is in the end going to say, where have you been when you stand before him? But he's going to ask this question, where are your men? Not where have you been, but where are your men? And so you just got to make the decision to do it. The second thing is somebody's got to initiate. Dorian, in this case, initiated out of his point of sorrow and despair. He reached out and he said, I need help. But that doesn't always happen. A lot of times, people won't reach out for help because they just don't know to, or they're just too in a space where they don't trust anybody, or whatever the reason is. I know this much. When I was a young man, I had a man come up to me. I was in my 20s. I was working for Ford Motor Credit Company. I was in their advanced management training program, and I was headed off to Detroit thank God that didn't happen, because there's not anything good in Detroit. If you're from Detroit, I'm sorry. Just kidding around. Detroit's probably a good town. I've never been there. But his name was Vince Elster, and Vince came up to me and he said, "I've been watching you," which is kind of a strange thing to say to a guy. And I said, "Okay." And he said, "I've been praying." And he said, I really think the Lord wants us to meet together." Now, by the way, probably one of the most weird ways to approach somebody, but nonetheless, I said, "Well, okay, he goes, "You ever hear of Shoney's?" "Yeah, okay." We went to Shoney's Breakfast Bar, which is great, by the way. It was like $3.99, all you can eat. And he ended up pouring into me formally, week in and week out for years. And I'm telling you right now, there's no way I would ever be in the space I am today without having been Vince Elster in my life. But I've had informal discipleship relationships as well. Yeah, Boyd Wages over here is one of my greatest mentors, and he never came to me and said, "I'm discipling you," but he did. And he poured into me over the years, even as I was a pastor up in Big Canoe and I was down in South Carolina going through these times. I was able to call upon Boyd because it wasn't just my boss telling me to get my work done, but it was a man who loved me and cared about me and decided that he wanted to see me become all I could be in Jesus Christ. So sometimes these relationships are informal, but somebody has to initiate. So the first principle is make the decision to do what Jesus said to do, and don't just talk about it. And the second decision you need to make is you got to initiate. It's not just going to happen. Be prayerful about it, but make sure you initiate. And then the third principle is simply this, is there's an art and science to this. You might have heard Dorian say to Mike, "Well, you know what? If Mike wouldn't have just listened to me and if he had just crammed Bible verses down my throat in the beginning, I probably wouldn't have been in a space to receive from him." So there's an art to meeting with people. You don't just say, "We're going to go through the chronological Bible." When it was time, Mike knew it was time to get in the Word. So that's the science of it. But somebody's got to initiate, and you can't expect the church to create a program for you so you can just cookie cutter walk into it. Some churches have done that, and it's been successful, and other churches have done it. It's been an abysmal failure. Ultimately, it comes down to this. Do you want to do what Jesus called you to do? And if you do, I promise you this, you'll be totally blessed. Vince, by the way, was retired. He was in his 70s. Pushing 80 when he started meeting with me when I was in my 20s. So a lot of times you feel that age disconnect. I assure you this, men, there are a lot of younger men out there in the place where you live, in the place where you work, in the place where you recreate, that are looking for somebody to step into their lives and say, "I care about you, and I want to help you grow." And there's some young guys under the sound of my voice, and you're going, "I wish somebody would reach out to me," and maybe nobody's reaching out to you. Well, you know what? Look at somebody that knows the Lord, and you see their walk with God and say, "You know what? I want to be more like them because they're following Christ." Initiate with them like Dorian did to Mike. And with that, I just want to challenge you. There's some cards on your table, and this is not, you know, these are just commitment to making a mentor, say, you know, or becoming a discipler. This mentoring and discipleship walk hand in hand. And the first box says, "I commit to pray and reach out to someone to mentor by 2022. So what you're making the commitment to is, and we're not, by the way, we're not going to necessarily, like, hold your hand to the fire on this sort of thing. We might encourage you with it, but we're not going to sit there and be like, "Well, you know, you committed to doing this. What's your problem?" That's really between you and the Lord, but we want to encourage you with it. So I commit to praying to reach out to someone to mentor by 2022. It could be somebody in the church, somebody at work, somebody in your neighborhood, somebody in your family. The second one is I commit to pray and reach out to someone to mentor me. So maybe you're in a space. By the way, I'm 51 years old, and I still go to people. Boyd, we need to meet again. I just want to let you know that. So I still go to people, and I call upon them to pour into my life. I'm interested in sharpening my skills as a mentor in 2022. So if that's something you're like, "You know what, I want to do this mentoring thing." First of all, let me just say that, how did you learn how to ride a bike when you're little? By reading a book about it, by hopping on it, falling down and getting up, falling down and getting up until you finally found the balance. Discipleship's a lot like riding a bike. Okay? And then finally, I'm not ready to be a part of the mentoring process in 2022. That is not a cop-out, by the way. That's just an honest assessment, right? And would love to know if you're interested in mentoring or being mentored or sharpening your skills that way. Just let us know who you are, and then just fill it out and put your card on the table, and we'll pick them up.
So, guys, this thing of preparing to mentor, that's a real deal. And so if you're inclined, I'm going to be letting you know what preparing to mentor looks like in terms of our being together so that you are fully equipped and prepared. Make sense? Okay, that's all.
All right. All right, thank you. Father, thank you for these men. There is not one person listening on Zoom by mistake today. There's not one person who's come here by mistake today, and we know that discipleship is at your very heart because of the last thing that you did before you left the earth, Lord Jesus, was to tell your people who you poured into to do what you've done and pour into other people. And we want to be about your business. We want to be more than talkers. We want to be more than people who study. We want to be people who actually do the stuff for your glory and the good of your church, and especially that those who are yet to know Christ would come to know him as Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.